Hello, and welcome to IRI Growth Insights, featuring IRI thought leaders, industry partners, and guests. For more than 40 years, IRI has been known for its invaluable data, but these podcasts explore insights that the data reveal to fuel disruption and market growth for CPG, retail, healthcare, and media industries. I'm your host, Tanya Shuckart, coming to you from my home office in Southern California. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Polino, Senior Vice President of Omnichannel Media in IRI's Media Center of Excellence. Jennifer, throughout your career, companies have counted on you to turn around marketing media, brand innovation, corporate strategy, and business building. You quickly analyze and grasp the complexity of situations, stabilizing teams and businesses, solid strategies. Boy, you've done it all, Jennifer. You're managing key licensing, mergers, buyouts, and running P&Ls for budgets up to $450 million. Boy, IRI is sure lucky to have you. You advise some of the world's top manufacturers, retailers, and media agencies on integrated data and prescriptive analytics, significantly improving marketing performance, and achieve measurable sales and lift. I tell you, I could go on and on. What's great about this, I've come to know you a little bit, and your expertise is bountiful, no questions there, and you're super relatable. So you're not only this, I think you called it a blue chip marketer, but you're also a consumer, a mom, a wife. So during this time right now, more than ever, I think our listeners are going to really appreciate getting a chance to hear from you. So welcome to Growth Insights.
Great. Thank you, Tanya. I really appreciate it. I am really excited to have this conversation with you. As you said, we are in some, you know, unprecedented times, and the relatability I surely have during these times, not only from a business perspective, but also from a personal perspective as well. I have a 7-year-old, a second grader, and you know, being thrown into being a parent teacher as well has been quite a bit of challenge, especially with my role and helping to advise, you know, CPGs, their agencies, and all of the brands that, you know, are dependent on our key analytics and our thought leadership.
Yeah, I mean, relatability right now is, I think, more important than ever, right? People want to be talked with, not talked to. And so, you know, just for context, we're in early April now. So we're right in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. Insights have probably never been more important. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, right? Insights to help drive growth and advertise in a pandemic. And just to further set the stage here for our listeners, today's topic stems from a pretty important piece of research that you did, Jennifer, with your colleagues on the media team, specifically to help CPG manufacturers during this unprecedented time, as you mentioned, to understand how quickly buying, consumption, and media behaviors are changing, and how to develop the right marketing and optimization plans to drive growth and ROI. So let's just get into it. You know, can you talk to me a little bit about the state of the industry right now and what kinds of consumption patterns are emerging?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, as we said, and even, you know, you think about your own situation, right? And, you know, it's fairly obvious that, you know, we're all going through and developing new habits, right? We started pretty much, you know, 4 weeks ago, some of us, you know, maybe, you know, a week before that. But, you know, in the next, 12 weeks also too, we're going to continue to see change. And the opportunity right now for brands is that these shifts are happening like nothing we've ever experienced, and in the scale of our, you know, our history. So really at this particular time of uncertainty, we're seeing, you know, a number just of behavioral changes, you know, in the way we you know, buy groceries or think about, you know, how we're going to buy groceries. You know, we were still in a, you know, probably 4 weeks ago, 90% of all of our groceries were still bought at brick and mortar. And we're seeing, obviously, you know, the surge of, you know, not only e-commerce, of course, but click and collect opportunities or, you know, delivery. So we're continuing to see that. And that demand will, I believe that will continue. And I do believe that is one of those habits that also, when we get to a more normal state, we're going to be elevated in the as a baseline, right?
Yeah. So that like 90%, a tipping point, maybe even
for, absolutely. For this is certainly a tipping point, and the consumption also too is quite different, right? Where we would have, while we might be buying, you know, we're stocking up or people are pantry loading during this time.
Right.
Also, consumption is going up. You know, all the households basically now have grown because, you know, in a sense, because kids are now, it's, you know, being homeschooled. And so where, you know, they were having lunch or even breakfast, you know, outside of the home or going to activities and, you know, having different eating patterns. Now all of that is at home. And so you have to have enough snacks and, you know, to keep people occupied. And, you know, people who are working at home, right, they're no longer going out for lunch. They're eating at home. And, you know, off tell you right away that, you know, I know my snacking patterns have, you know, gone up, you know, as we are home all day and, you know, stressed.
Yeah. The entire food dollars moved from restaurants to homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're continuing to see that. And then, as we said, the consumption continues, to go up. So while pantry stocking, you know, we're seeing that, we do think that, you know, consumption also too has increased. So we're not thinking that, you know, where you might have bought, you know, cans of soup previously, and it might have taken you a month or something to repurchase. Now you're going through them at a much faster rate.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I know that's true here, right? In our household too. And we've got four teenagers, one of them a college student, and they're all doing online classes. And, you know, some schools are starting the day the way that they normally would. So then you've got, you know, four kids, two adults all having breakfast together. That was like unheard of weeks ago, you know? And then some of them are sort of as they want to do the work, which is more related to the college kid. And so, you know, she's sleeping until noon. And, but, you know, you're right. Just the consumption patterns have changed even in home, and the amount and the frequency. We're going through food.
Right.
Like never before.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And you know, when you're also too nesting at home, you know, you think about your, what you are seeking out as a consumer. You're seeking out products and goods that are comforting,
right?
To help in this time of anxiety. And that's really a one, it's really an opportunity for brands to think about, you know, how they're communicating to consumers at this time as well, right? Like what type of messaging is going to be important at this time to make sure that you're positioning your brand and not sounding tone deaf to individuals.
Right. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, you did touch on comfort, so I'll come back to that. So because we're about a month into this now, can you give some examples of the trends that you did see in March now that we're in April?
Yes, I can. You know, some of the trends that we have seen over the past month, right? Obviously, the pantry loading and pantry stocking. One of the interesting phenomenons that we have seen, obviously, is when we talk about like center of store packaged goods products. We're seeing, you know, a a massive increase in new buyers, you know, people that have never bought, you know, certain products again. You know, they're kind of coming back, you know, maybe where they have not purchased those, you know, types of products ever before.
Right.
You know, I'll just give you a couple examples. One is, you know, so millennials, you know, have for the last several years, you know, some of the center of store products have, and you know, tried and true brands have lost a lot of share over the last year as, you know, categories become more fragmented, variety becomes, you know, more, that these, millennials and others are seeking, freshness becomes important. Sustainability types of packaging become really important and the claims of which, attributes that are important to people are much more varied.
They want like-mindedness, right? Millennials.
Yeah. And they want to know that their brand stands for something, right? And, you know, stands for the same values that they have.
Right.
And so we've seen over the past years that, you know, some of those tried and true brands, like, you know, say a Kraft mac and cheese or a Campbell's soup or, you know, other package type of products, you know, have trended down a little bit in the past and people switching or doing, you know, working with some other brands.
Right.
But now what we're seeing is this great influx of, you know, people rediscovering, you know, a brand or, you know, who have never bought, new buyers to a brand. And so I think that this is an interesting time and an interesting pattern, you know, that we're seeing specifically in, you know, the center store and packaged goods and an opportunity for some of these brands to think about, you know, what they can do and how they can connect with these new consumers where they might have never had an opportunity to do so.
I think on that Kraft mac and cheese, I think I saw a metric, you know, that Kraft mac and cheese saw 200,000, more than 200,000 new buyers to their brand in the first 3 weeks of March.
Yeah. And then we just did the results from the last week and, just in 1 week, there was over 250,000 new buyers to that brand. So, you know,
goosebumps.
Huge increases.
I just got goosebumps because it's very telling, right? Those numbers are indicative of the reality of the situation, right? So perishables are no longer top priority, probably, right? For those millennials.
Yeah.
They want, to your point, these comfort brands.
The comfort brands, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that we've also obviously been seeing, right, on the media side of the business, we've seen, you know, a lot increases, obviously, in media consumption, right, up to 70%+, right,
with
different behaviors emerging, right?
Right.
Everybody is an influencer now on social media, it's exploding. And so, you know, not only that consumption is up, but what we've also seen is a reverse based off of actual digital buying. We've seen CPMs on digital media and costs coming down about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is the fact that, you know, there are a number of industries that just, you know, shouldn't be don't want to be advertising at this particular time, right?
Sure.
So
right.
Entertainment, travel, you know, where, you know, their business is, you know, dependent on, you know, events or, you know, or people, you know, having the ability to, you know, move about and not be sequestered. So we are seeing, you know, kind of that supply demand, that relationship there having an effect. So media costs are down and TV media costs are down as well when we're seeing it across spot markets and regional, almost about 50%, because again, the increased supply because of the lower advertising demand on, you know, say sports, which isn't available, and, you know, some of those entertainment and companies that aren't really advertising as heavily now.
Right. Well, that was the segue I was going to make earlier was, I don't know about your family, but I know another way we're seeking comfort here is by watching TV and staying on top of social media. So, I mean, you talked about some of that data. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on around TV and social?
Yes. The one thing I do want to mention, especially on TV, right, I think it's going to be interesting. We have, now we're starting the what is traditionally known as the, television upfront market season, right, where it presents both, some opportunities and uncertainty, certainly for advertisers and media sellers. So the season, which usually kicks off in May and really continues up through kind of the summer months, it's, when a time that advertisers really lock in access to kind of premium inventories and, at different guaranteed rates in exchange for like annual commitments. But, today we're going to probably see, that format, definitely changing. And also too, advertisers really, thinking about how much do they really want to be locked in at this particular time going forward. So the new fronts, which, think about, over the top television and, any other addressable type of means, I think are going to, and some of the streaming types of services are going to be more, they're going to have some, maybe some, different advantages, going forward. So we're going to, continue to keep a watch on that, but we'll definitely see some, changes in the marketplace going forward.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, I don't know if this is really even an answerable question right now, but are you seeing adjustments to those contracts? So it's easier to get out of something that you otherwise had paid an upfront for? Not even.
Yeah, we haven't seen that as of yet. Certainly, in the markets like where we have spot, more regional television, there's been, a shift and an opportunity to buy inventory at lower prices.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about risk. For brands right now, what tips do you have? What broad steps can they take or strategies can they implement during this time?
Yeah. I think, I kind of break it into what I think about as, broad, some broad recommendations, right? I'll name them off and then I think we could deep dive into a little, each one of them.
Okay.
But the first one is, really look for opportunities to invest in media at this time. As I said, the media prices have dropped and, you have, an opportunity maybe for brands that you couldn't spend, previously before. There might be some opportunities there. The second, big area of recommendation is, thinking about how to connect with your consumers. What are the different ways in which you should be connecting with your consumers? We live in a personalized world and now more than ever, right? Is that perfect time to be able to personalize, people who weren't connected in that way are now connected.
Right.
Good opportunity there. And in conjunction with that, the recommendation is not only connecting with your consumers, but adapting your messaging to them. How are your brands going to be known for during this time? How are you going to support them?
Right.
How are you going to show them that you're a stable brand? And then the last two, I think really about is, learning and testing and understanding and how do you optimize during a time where you don't have a baseline to understand what's happening. So, thinking about, optimizing continuously, thinking about, different markets to test, different messages to test, how can you quickly learn from that? And then the last one is, making sure that you holistically look at your measurement and see how your products and your brands are performing against maybe certain target audiences or certain creatives across the board so that you can learn and understand, how to best move forward, after we return a little bit more to, normal times and where maybe your brand has increased their base level as well.
Yeah, right. Can you talk about share of voice data a little bit?
Yeah. So, one of the things that we, we look at, right, is an opportunity for, you know, if brands aren't advertising, you know, this is where I think, you know, when we're looking for new opportunities to invest in media, if, you know, brands haven't advertised or had maybe a lower share of voice to share of market value, this is really a great time to think about, you know, in a downturn, you know, what are some short-term and long-term gains that you can make to, you know, maybe you're the number two player in a category. You know, you could increase your messaging, and to, you know, try to gain those new consumers, to bring a new positioning into the marketplace, and to make sure that you connect with your consumers and at least get your message out there more than you would have ever had the opportunity to,
right,
versus a competitor that might have pulled back.
Right. Right. That's a great tip. So speaking of categories, I know that you've got recommendations for a lot of categories. Maybe we can talk just about a couple of them. Talk to maybe beauty being, you know, a good category that our podcast listeners, you know, might appreciate hearing about. Certainly, I know I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, certainly. You know, and this is one that's near and dear to my heart as well. I mean, I will tell you, I love going into, I mean, I don't walk out of Walgreens, you know, for less than, you know, $100 because I'm, you know, like trying new things and, you know, having the opportunity. Same thing, you know, if I go into a Sephora or an Ulta, you know, there's that opportunity to, you know, try and experiment, but I also have it to try and experiment and to go places.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people are, you know, they're working from home and they're restricted, you know, on socializing. Yeah. And so buying those particular products and say fewer cosmetics because maybe you're just not putting makeup on in the morning or doing your hair, you know, as you normally would.
Right.
And so consumption in this particular category, you know, holistically, you know, it can go down. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's those real, you know, potential declines there. So I think, you know, beauty, you know, CPGs and, you know, and those manufacturers have the opportunity to think about, you know, what can we, how do we communicate best to them? Do we have products that can help meet the needs of consumers in a much more, personalized manner, which, you know, that reflects, you know, how their new situation is happening. So, you know, how do you help take them, take care of them from a standpoint of, their self-care, right? And self-beauty treatments. Do you have products like masks or different types of treatments or ointments or skincare that you can, you know, come out of, you know, of this time and start looking amazing like you've never looked and well-rested before, right? I think that there's a great opportunity there, you know, bath bombs and, you know, products that are, you know, helpful for them. You know, products that make you look great on camera, right? Like,
right,
you know, because everybody is,
everybody's,
you know,
doing virtual communicating now. We all
everybody
want
is virtual communicating.
That bright lighting and the bronzer.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, so amazing things like that. Mm-hmm. And alternatively, it is also a great time to encourage trial and whimsy of, you know, certain products, right? If you have always been a person that, you know, dyes their hair a certain color, maybe, or paints their nails, you know, a pale pink, now might be a time to, you know, branch out and, you know, get that, you know, hot pink, you know, nail color, or even try some new colors on your hair, you know, it's a less of a risk, right? Not many people are going to see you. And so, you know, you can have some fun while you're at home.
Yeah. I've been teased about my colleagues, during this time. I have been one to get my nails done regularly, my toes done regularly, my hair done regularly. And those are things now I'm having to do on my own. So I can tell you in this house, I've made some purchases in beauty that different purchases, let's say, than I was making before, right? So I have gone out on a limb and tried new things. The latest nail polish, I haven't yet tried it from an application perspective, but I purchase it. It's called Cabana Boy. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, geez, that's going out on, I can't, you know, travel and sit in a cabana, but I can take a vacation through my nail polish. That's me time for me. I get
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there's a ton of, you know, different opportunities when you think about that and think about, you know, the makeup. And I think I mentioned it before and I joked about it, but it is true. You know, everybody is becoming an influencer, quote unquote. And so, you know, whether or not you're doing it for your family or having, you know, virtual, you know, happy hours or, you know, doing some fun and creative, you know, things, it's nice to be able to, you know, use maybe some of the creativeness and surprise and delight experiences, you know, for your audience,
right.
You know, and put some fun, different makeup on that might not be, you know, normal for you. And it's about, you know, it 20 minutes, 30 minutes of your time, you know, you become, you know, a little bit of a different person. So it's kind of fun also to get you out of the doldrums of what
you're experiencing. Right. It's a break in the monotony, right? It's become Groundhog Day for everyone. So anything you can do to change it up. Yeah.
I would be remiss to fail to say that, you know, in the beauty category, you know, IRI, you know, to find these people who, you know, might have these changing behaviors or new buyers to, you know, face masks and hair color and nail polish, right? The, you know, IRI, one of our unique propositions in the marketplace is that we do have what we call deterministic buyers. We have, that are derived from 500 million loyalty cards across 16 different retailers. And those 500 million loyalty cards are householded to get to 117 million households in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And that's 93% of the households in the U.S. So we know a lot about your buying behavior. And, you know, we know when you're coming into a category. And so we can take that information that allows you to create a group of an audience of new buyers of face masks. And then you can take that audience and be able to customize a creative against them to help them, you know, maybe do a tutorial on here's how to best use face masks. Here's best when to use them. Here's how to, you know, put the application on, you know, and tips and tricks. So the idea here is to, you know, you have in this world that we're at, the ability, you always think of like D2C brands that they have this information of people who searched on their websites and people who have purchased their products. Now is, you know, the time when CPG manufacturers can take a look and be exactly like a D2C brand, right? We have this information. Use this information to connect with your brands. Show them how you position yourself and how you are connecting with them at the end of the day.
Right. And to your earlier point, it's a great opportunity to advance your position in the category, right? Yep. Using those techniques.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's take a look at another category. I think you identified shelf stable drinks as another category to dive into. You know, what trends are you seeing in that category?
Yeah, shelf stable products or, you know, canned goods, you know, I think are an interesting, as I had said, you know, the center of store, you know, products have really seen obviously an increase, you know, of pantry loading. And it's a great opportunity to think about ways in which you can send a consumption message to individuals. And right, we're thinking of, you know, parents are at home now with their kids and they're looking for healthy treats and to refuel after a day of homeschooling. So, you know, you can start positioning, you know, those self-stable juices and products that you have bought as fun after school treats to celebrate the day. And you could start thinking about, you know, be your own mixologist, right? If you're an adult, maybe, you know, pair some, you know, new fun fruity drinks with
Jennifer. I feel like we can have our own happy hour talking about cocktails and beauty.
Exactly. We should. So, yeah. So I think that, you know, those types of things are, you know, fairly easy to be creative about and connect with your consumers, you know, through digital mechanisms and television too, right? To show how you relate to your consumers.
Yeah, this has been great. This has been a great conversation. I feel like I could, like I said, we could just chat for, you know, forever, because these, even though I know that the audience here, you know, they're marketers, they're going through this, or they're in the trenches with us, right? They're, they're right in the middle of it, with us. And so it's never too far from the top of mind, is it, that, that we're in this together. You know, for our listeners, you can find Jennifer and the media team's thought leadership on how to advertise during a pandemic on IRI's COVID-19 resource page under Advertising Insights. And you'll also see the full list of recommendations for their categories there as well. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been really fun.
It has been fun. A very insightful discussion during a very difficult time for our country and our world. And hopefully we kept it light for everyone.
Great. You know, thank you, Tanya. I appreciate it. And I, you know, as a, you know, a brand marketer at heart and, you know, have managed some of these brands and, you know, thinking about your strategy, you know, it's very near and dear to me as well, to make sure that you're, you know, you have a great position, you know, coming out of these times. And, you know, our clients are, you know, feeding the world and helping the world, you know, through their products. And I think that having more minds to be able to help these, you know, their brands connect with their consumers, and the tools used with the technology that we have today and the data that we have today are only going to make it much stronger going in and for the brands and the consumers, you know, as we return to more normalcy.
Yeah, agreed. It's great to be partnering with, authenticity. Again, thank you so much, Jennifer. It's been great. And I look forward to doing it again.
Okay. Me too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please become a subscriber and let us know what you want to learn more about. We'll serve it up in a future IRI Growth Insights episode. Look for us wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to review IRI Growth Insights. Also, visit us on the web at iriworldwide.com and connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.